Continuing with our look at death, and in particular we've been looking at Barzakh, which is the intermediate period between death and the resurrection and Yawm al-Qiyamah. I'd like to focus on that which determines what our life will be in the Akhirah, and that starts from the time of Barzakh, which is our deeds. In Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, يَوْمَ تَجِدُ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ مُحْضَرًا وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. On that day that every soul shall find present what it has done of good and what it has done of evil. It shall wish that between it and that which is evil there were a long duration of time. And Allah makes you to be cautious of the retribution. And Allah is compassionate to those who are attached to Him, to His Abd. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an admonishment to one of the companions who had come to ask him from what he would benefit. And the advice, as I said, has been converted into a poem in Arabic. And let's look at the translation. It says, "Select a companion from your deeds, because in the grave, the only companion for a human being will be his deeds. It's essential for you to reserve a companion for life after death, for the day when the human being will be called and will attend at once the grand gathering. So if you're busy in anything, then beware. Never engage yourself in any deed disliked by Allah. Be it before death or after death, the human being has nothing except his deeds. Beware, the human being is only a guest amongst his family members in this world. He stays with them only for a few days, and then he leaves." So what is the criteria for establishing the worth of a deed? Many times we imagine that the worth of a deed depends on the extent of the benefits to which it gives rise, and therefore we assign the highest value to a deed which appears to have the greatest quantitative benefits. See, from a social point of view, the goodness of an action depends on its benefit to society, and the motive that underlies it, the niyyah, informs it of why it is done, but in society, it's sometimes judged as immaterial. However, from a divine point of view, the quantitative aspect of the deed is really not important. That which is measured to determine its acceptability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the quality of the deed, which depends on the intention that led to its performance. If one embarks on a deed without being inspired by a spirit of truthfulness and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the motive is normally transient fame and respect, the result of which may have a transient effect, but otherwise it is like a corpse, lifeless and valueless. So when judging the value of a deed, it's incorrect simply to examine it by the degree to which it benefits society. It's got to be judged by the inner and the outer. It is pure intention and aim, where the desire is solely to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes a deed acceptable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes it immortal. Let me give you an example. When the forces of Islam were preparing to fight the enemy in the Battle of Tabuk, they needed financial support. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked some of the wealthy individuals to assume the cost of the battle, and each of them contributed to the Muslim army to the extent that their resources permitted them to do so. Now, there was a person by the name of Abu Aqil al-Ansari who was able to earn, let's say, 2 pounds of dates by working extra hours at night, and he offered half of that, 1 pound, to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his contribution. Now, there were some hypocrites amongst the Muslims who took advantage of the occasion, and they ridiculed the contribution of Abu Aqil. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals an ayah of Quran which reprimands them and threatens them with punishment in the hereafter. And if we look at Surah Al-Tawbah, this is Surah number 9, and we look at Ayah 79, we see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. He says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alladhina yalmizuna al-mutawa'ina min al-mu'minina في الصدقات والذين لا يجدون إلا جهدهم فيسخرون منهم سخر الله منهم ولهم عذاب أليم. He says that those who on account of their own evil nature find fault with the contributions of obedient believers, who mock those who do not grudge spending in the way of Allah whatever they are able, Allah mocks them and He will punish them. A painful torment will be theirs. And look at how he continues. He says, "Istaghfir lahum aw la tastaghfir lahum." Ask forgiveness for them or don't ask forgiveness for them. "In tastaghfir lahum 70 marratan falan yaghfir Allahu lahum." Even if you ask forgiveness for them 70 times, Allah will not forgive them. "Dhalika bi annahum kafaru billahi wa rasulihi." That is because they covered up the truth about Allah and His Messenger. "Wallahu la yahdi al-qawm al-fasikin." And Allah does not guide the transgressing people. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when the resurrection comes, there'll be a summon which will be heard on the plain of Mahshar, of gathering. And the summoner will say, "Where are those who worshipped other human beings? Rise up, go, seek your reward from those whom you desire to please with your acts. I do not accept deeds which are tainted by intentions of the world." And immediately then he said, "The value of a deed depends on the intention which underlies it." In Surah Al-Mulk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala." It is Allah who has created death and life, that He may try you as to which of you is the best in deeds. When Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was commenting on this ayah, he said, "What is meant here is not the extent or the quantity of deeds, but the highest degree of righteousness. Righteousness consists of the fear of Allah, sincerity of intention, and purity of deed." He said, "To keep a deed utterly sincere and free of all contamination is more difficult than doing the deed itself." He said, "A sincere deed is one in which only Allah's pleasure is sought and not someone else's praise. The intention is better than the deed." And then he said, "Or is even identical with the deed." And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam quotes ayah 84 of Surah Al-A'raf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Surah Al-Isra, Surah number 17, ayah 84, where he says, "Qul kullun ya'malu ala shaqilatihi." Everyone acts according to his manner, according to his nature. And Imam says, this means his or her intention. So the idea is to create a transparent nature in oneself where the intention and the action are absolutely on one plane. Continuing on that, Imam Baqir al-Islam said that the preservation of a righteous deed is more difficult than performing the deed in the first place. So he was asked, "Ya Ibn Rasulullah, what is meant by the preservation of the deed?" He said, "Let us suppose that someone makes a gift of charity in order to earn the pleasure of Allah and to have it recorded in his register of deeds as an act of charity unknown to other human beings. Then he tells someone about what he has done. The reward of hidden charity is annulled, for his act will have become public. He then tells someone else of what he has done, and this time sincerity with which he had performed it will be completely annulled, and the register of his deeds will record that his act was hypocritical." That means the aim changed, wanted praise instead of nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important to understand that it is the motivation to act that forms the essence of the human being in the grave and beyond. And this is in essence is the quality of life that will be experienced in Barzakh. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that if the dead person is one of the people of Jahannam, his place in Jahannam is shown to him every morning and every evening in his grave in the period of Barzakh. If he or she is one of the people of Jannah, he or she is shown to his or her palace in Jannah and told that this will be your station in the hereafter. Yesterday, I quoted ayah 46 of Surah Al-Mu'min, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the punishment of the people of Fir'aun. He says that an-naru, the fire. Then he continues to say, "Yu'aradhuna 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya." They will be brought before it every morning and every evening. "Wa yawma taqumu as-sa'a." And on the day when the hour shall come to pass. أدخلوا آل فرعون أشد الأذاب. Make Pharaoh's people enter the severest of punishments. Let's look on the other side. We read in Surah Yasin about Habib al-Najjar. And that is so beautiful when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, قِيلَ ادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ قَالَ يَا لَيْتَ قَوْمِي يَعْلَمُونَ بِمَا غَفَرَ لِرَبِّي وَجَعَلَنِي مِنَ الْمُكْرَمِينَ. It was said to him, enter the garden, enter Jannah. And he said, how I wish that my people had known of that on account of which my Rabb has forgiven me and made me of the honored ones. Just to recap, it was Habib al-Najjar who invited his people to believe in the messengers Allah has sent. But he was threatened and finally he was killed by them. And after his death, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him. And Imam alayhi salam says that here the Jannah means the Jannah of Barzakh. And the ayat that we should aspire for Barzakh are the last three, four ayat of Surah Al-Fajr, Surah number 89. Well, Allah says, يَا عَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَعِنَّةِ إِرْجِيِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً فَادْخُلِي فِي إِبَادِي وَادْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. O soul that is content, return to your Rabb, well pleased with Him, well pleasing Him. So enter amongst those who are attached to me, my Abd, and enter into my Jannah. Inshallah, we will continue with the subject tomorrow.